Whether your business is small or large, your ambitions for it are always big. And at Santander, so are ours. That's why we've been awarded Business Bank of the Year for 4 years running. Because no matter what size your business, we have dedicated local business relationship managers who'll help you along the way. So with us in your corner, the sky's the limit. Visit santanderbusiness.co.uk to find out more. Here to help your business prosper. Santander.
Business Money Facts Award 2015 to 2018.
It's a good show.
Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Yeah. Acoustic podcast is just a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, this new Gmail is taking a shit all over my computer.
Ooh, gross.
All right.
Gets in between the keys.
I haven't been reading any of the emails.
No. Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah, buddy.
What do you mean you haven't been...
Profesh, babe.
This is the first time you've noticed that Gmail has changed?
Yeah.
Changed several days ago.
Really?
You just tune out.
Well, yeah, I was like, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, we're back around, baby. Back in town.
Back in town. You've been away for a week? Where'd you go?
It was great.
Uh-huh.
Many thanks.
Yeah.
To the people of Pittsburgh, that's Bethlehem, enough. Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Richmond, Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I got to do shout-outs. But, yeah, hell of a tour. Good run. Thanks, everybody.
Sold out that 9:30 club.
Huntington Beach. I was in Huntington Beach Saturday night.
You sold out a legendary rock club, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
It felt good.
Yeah.
It was good shows. Good, good people.
Uh-huh.
And old Brandy Posey opening, crushing it.
Yeah. OB Pose?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good to be back in the saddle, baby. I took my summer break.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having summer break, just living life.
Back to work for you.
Yeah, and then I go back and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about seeing a bear.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What's that?
The walls are very thin in this apartment, and that's the sound of my neighbors.
Slamming the door.
Slowly leaving the home and slamming their door.
Anything good on the tour?
Eat anything?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I gave up on eating.
Yeah.
I'm eating my vegetables.
Yeah.
My vegetables and occasionally some fishes. I had a fish sandwich from some fast food place in, one of those rest stops that goes over the highway, like the bridge rest stop.
Oh yeah, oof! Fast food fish from that spot.
Yeah, man, I rolled the dice. I'm dangerous. It wasn't bad. You know, you fast food fish. I was always like, because I wanted some trash, but I'm like, all right, well. I'm still not doing meat. Mm-hmm. But I'll do the fish.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's you know what got me? Shit, what's that place called? It's like a Pennsylvania, like Northeast regional thing. But they had a tiny do-it-yourself bar, not on like a Wendy's bag. So I got to put my own like onion and tomato on top of it. Like, well, I'll get a fish sandwich, but I'll tart it up real good,
Fuddrucker style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I love a Fuddruckers.
Me too.
Anytime you can like put that much shit on a veggie burger, I'm like, oh, this is already... It's all the stuff I like that tastes the same.
Mm-hmm.
Fuddruckers has so many sauces. Have you been there recently?
I went there about a year ago.
They got so many sauces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People want to mock a Fuddruckers. It's a solid. It's a solid spot.
I got no problem with Fuddruckers.
Mm-hmm.
I went in there and sat by myself. I go to a family restaurant and sit by myself like a weirdo. What do I care?
I did that in Boston. I got there early and I was like, I'm going to go to Fuddruckers. This is what I want. Some people can't eat by themselves. I love eating by myself.
I love it. I don't like the whole social component to dining out anyway. It's time to eat. I got a job to do.
They don't fuck around.
I'm not here to talk. I'm here to eat.
This mouth ain't doing two things at once.
Well, good to have you back, buddy. Glad the shows went well.
Yeah, I would throw some shout-outs, but I got to get my phone.
Yeah.
Keep going. Fill the void.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I got something very exciting to report.
My phone is behind me.
Okay, it's right there. Okay, well, go ahead with your shout-outs then.
I'm going to do a shout-out. Jesus Christ, Rachel's at the dentist. and they're telling her that she needs Invisalign, and they said that your jaw can grow as an adult. They told her that her jaw grew, and she needs Invisalign. This sounds like a real... This sounds like its own conspiracy theory. Dentists like, all the dental care, maybe that's it. All the toothpaste and everything is getting better, and now dentists aren't needed as much, so they're coming up with bullshit like your jaw grows.
What if it can grow? Like, a year later, she just looks like George the Animal Steel. Just this giant jawed woman.
I still...
Rachel's looking mannish.
She's, like, jutting out there. Like, sticking it out. I just love wrestlers who have a fake name and then give a fake nickname for the fake name. Like, oh, your name was just George Steele?
Yeah.
Also, I'm an animal. Richard Steamboat, call me the dragon. I'm the dragon who's a steamboat.
Oh, God. Yeah, my jaw grew.
I realize this because since I shaved the beard, I'm it's looking a little fatter in the face and meatier around the jawline. I think it's from maybe because you grind your teeth in your sleep and that push. Fuck me, man. I don't know.
If anything, that should make your jaw smaller.
Yeah, well, yeah, you think you'd get a more perfect fit since it's all just sliding. It's like a Swedish woodworking. I don't know what that meant. So
me neither. Sounds funny.
My parents had something like the coffee table was like a Nor. It was like my mom was like, it's Norwegian. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? He's like, there's no nails. They just like carve the wood to fit together.
Oh,
that's somebody's doing it.
Yeah, good for them.
Oh yeah. So I thanks to Spencer Tassone.
Mm-hmm.
He brought a bottle of whiskey. In Richmond, Virginia, but I thought it was felt bad. I couldn't take it on the plane, so I told him, like, you drink it in honor of us. So thank you for that, Spencer. You hoist one when you listen to us, and that was kind of you. And Eric Jones and Sarah Root, and Sarah, Root Bottom Farms, that's the garlic. They gave that. I didn't know there's different types of garlic.
Root Bottom Farms sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. Get him get that Root Bottom.
Been digging in the dirt over at Root Bottom Farms.
Oh, man. Yeah. Root, well, yeah. Got ass garlic. I got a case of the old ass garlic.
That shit is ripe.
Yeah. But there's different types of garlic. I never knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
So, we got a couple different types. There's one that gave it to me in an egg carton. He also gave me jams and jellies, but I couldn't take them on a plane, so Brandy Posey took them.
Jams and jellies.
A nice assortment of jams and jellies.
That used to be a joke of mine years ago before I had any merch to sell. I'd go, normally this is part of the show where a comedian would pitch their merch. I don't have any shirts or CDs, but I do have a nice collection of jams, jellies, and fried pies. You see me after the show. In every show, somebody would come up and be like, hey, were you serious? Do you have fried pies? It's like, no, it's just...
Man, you can't promise that to your crowd and not follow through.
Well, that's cool, man. Always nice getting gifts. Always nice. Shout out to Kyle.
That's me.
Not you, the other
thanks,
Kyle.
Buddy. Shout out to Dave. Sure, we have listener appreciation, but what about co-host appreciation? You're all right, buddy.
Kyle from Forged Coffee Roasting Company. Oh. He sent us some nice coffee. That and my girlfriend Katie went out and got a coffee grinder. She ground that shit up.
That's
and I was
nice,
thinking,
I don't have one of those.
I haven't noticed it because I'm not much of a coffee drinker. It still exists, but I don't notice it. But when I was a kid, I would go with my mom to the grocery store, and then she'd go to the coffee aisle and get her bag. She'd pick out her bag of coffee, and then a few feet over, kind of in the middle of the aisle, was a big, industrial coffee grinder. Do they still have those in the grocery
store?
Absolutely. Oh, I guess I just, because I never purchase coffee, I never notice it. But I always thought that was fun. Like, oh, she's opening the bag before she paid for it, and pours it in, and shoots it back out. You know, when you're an idiot four-year-old, that's real fascinating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, machinery.
Okay.
Yeah. Children love machinery.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was fascinated by that.
I still love machinery. Mm-hmm. I was at the place I played in Bethlehem, not to mention stayed in supposedly a haunted mansion.
Really?
Called the Sayer Mansion. It's funny. Brandy was one going, oh, this place is supposed to be haunted, and the nice, sweet old lady at the clerk's like, oh, so which room is haunted? She's like, none of them. Well,
no.
It could have played along. And they had a French bulldog that hung out in the lobby.
Oh, well, that's just as good.
Yeah, it farted right in my hand.
Really?
Isn't it weird, like, with that much, such a hairy ass, you could still pucker the lips enough for a little... look at you, Bradford.
Was that his name?
Yeah, Bradford. Just fucking... Oh, just floating a biscuit right into my palm. Yeah, I'll allow it. But yeah, if it wasn't haunted, but then I got back to the room and Ryan like, okay, wasn't drinking that night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a little bit stoned. And then I found a door in my room because it's a mansion that's divided up. It's not like uniform rooms like a hotel designed as such.
Uh-huh.
So it's weird rooms. It's like a bed and breakfast. The place put us up in it. The steel stacks.
Uh-huh.
Which is why I was talking about machinery. Like, it's an old steel mill.
Nice.
So you're doing comedy in there, but you're looking around like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Bunch of old, neat buildings. Anyways, I'm like, oh, here's a door that I didn't check. Probably a closet. I'm in my underpants, like, ready to go to bed. I open it up, and it's just a different hallway behind my room that was just bright, wide open.
Wow.
And it was unlocked. That was the thing. It was unlocked. So it was unlocked from the outside.
Huh.
And that's why I checked. I'm like, oh, so there was a way to get into my room this whole time.
I don't like that.
It was kind of an odd, like, what?
I don't even like a normal hotel when the rooms have the doors between the two for, like, families who want to get two rooms.
But you can lock those.
I always check that shit. I don't trust that.
As long as they have bar lock on the top.
Get out
of here. How are those locks? What's the fire department code of, like, what's the breakable force for those kind of security locks on a door?
Yeah, I don't know.
In a hotel, if there's a fire, they still got to be able to kick those open. Right?
Yeah, I would suppose so. But a lot of those doors are so heavy because of that to keep fire from spreading.
Yeah, if there's an emergency,
I don't know how that works.
Sick or something, so you're not getting a response from somebody, they still have to be penetrable.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you just hang that do not disturb sign on the door and they come in anyway. 50% of the time I hang that sign on the next morning. Housekeeping. I'm like, read the fucking sign.
I think it's some rascal taking them off of people's doors. Mm. Some teenager thinking it's hilarious.
Okay. Never even thought of that.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. Well, good times.
Where we going?
No, not machinery. Dude. All right.
Well, coffee grinds.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if you could put other stuff in there. That'd probably fuck up a grocery store.
Like what, just a can of corn?
Yeah, gummy bears or something. A nice gummy bear dust.
Ooh.
You wouldn't just sprinkle that? You wouldn't
make some Kool-Aid out of that.
Take a pinch of that and put it over some ice cream?
Oh, yeah.
A gummy dust?
Ooh, take a pinch, put it between your gums, like dip. Just get some gummy dip.
You ever mess with that beef jerky dip?
Oh, yeah.
A shredded beef jerky?
When I was a teenager playing baseball, that's all the time. I just thought I was cool. I was like, look, it's like tobacco, but it's beef jerky. That and bubble tape, because that came in the little tin dip can.
Big League Chew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Big League Chew. That's good shit.
You got to put gum in a serving size.
Mm-hmm.
You Big League Chew, the whole thing's going in.
Yeah.
Sorry, man. The whole thing's going
I used to do the same thing. Like,
no, you're going to trust a child with restraint?
No.
A do-it-yourself candy? A prescription? Oh. No, man. It's all going in.
Good times.
When you talk about like how stuff's marketed to kids, like tobacco's marketed, like, oh, yeah, Big League Chew.
Yeah. There you go. Comes in the pouch. It's one of the coolest candies a kid can get his hands on.
I never knew what chewing tobacco was. But just smoked cigarettes around me. We still get candy cigarettes.
Man, I grew up around people that just dipped. I never dipped. But like, and I never dipped mainly because of this, the spit bottle. Everybody I knew just had like an old Dr. Pepper, an empty Dr. Pepper bottle, and just, you know, every 12 seconds, like, ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, of all, like, I smoked for 10 years, 10 and change. I'll still have one if I'm drinking, feel like. That's the thing about living in LA and everybody thinks they're smoking the healthy cigarettes by smoking American Spirits. Those things suck. Like if I have a cigarette, give me like Marlboro Red.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something with all the poison in it.
Yeah.
That gives me the head buzz. But like, is what's worse, smoke or the spitting?
They're both gross.
Would you rather look at somebody spit or smell the smoke?
Probably smell the smoke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It was always Dr. Pepper bottles. And it's like, or you know, any cola. It's like, you're going to fuck up and mistake that for a beverage. If you're going to have a spit bottle, at least spit into a Mountain Dew bottle or a water bottle.
I thought it was going
to. It's like, that's the same color as a Dr. Pepper. You got to be careful there, Carl.
Yeah, I never. I think I tried it once. My buddy was visiting. I'm like, yeah, we'll do some dip, and we're doing. We both just kind of like I think we both threw up in my parking garage.
Dude, I got to tell you about this game changing discovery this week, man. All right, I told you. I think I mentioned last couple episodes. I'm back on the horse, man. I'm dieting hardcore. Lost 11 pounds in 14 days.
That's
pretty good start.
You throwing exercise on top of it?
Yeah. Riding a bike. You gave me a bike. I don't think we talked about that. One of your 12 bikes was taking up room, and you're so gracious enough to just give it to me. Been riding that bastard up and down Silver Lake, all over the place. I've been hitting those Silver Lake stairs. I joined a gym, so I got
on
a nice
bike. That's impressive.
Got a variety of exercises, but I'm getting, and I don't know all the ins and outs of the keto diet. I know that's a big fad right now, and some people are very religious with it. All I'm trying to do, and I guess this qualifies as keto, is no carbs, no sugar, no grain, no alcohol. I'm just doing basically meat and veggies. Just eating a lot of salads, a lot of poke bowls, just meat and veg. But, dude, you mentioned Fresh Brothers, okay? Mm-hmm. Fresh Brothers has a cauliflower crust pizza.
Yeah, dog.
Dude.
Rachel was saying, you were talking to her about it. I'm like, fucking Dave brings it up, and all of a sudden YouTube keto maniacs are all about it. I've been telling her about that shit for months.
I didn't know it existed. I'm
two fucking power lifters want to go down your diet secrets, but shouldn't listen to me. So Kyle was recommending a pizza.
I had to tell her. Because I knew she's the only one I know, you know, close that's really into this. So I was like, Rachel, you know about this? And she goes, no. And she's like, well, I'm eating it tonight, though. And I'm like, well, have fun. And I'm all about the cauliflower rice. I've been doing that. And by the way, I'll share a recipe later on with some cauliflower rice. But the cauliflower crust pizza, in terms of carbs, the only real bad thing on the pizza is the crust, is all that wheat and dough. You know, I know pizza is not necessarily healthy with all that cheese and meat and stuff. But when we're talking carbs, so they replace that with cauliflower. And, dude, it tastes – have you had it? It tastes amazing. It tastes like a thin crust pizza.
Oh, I know. It's hard to tell the difference.
Dude. Oh, my God.
I think it still has a lot of carbs, though.
You think is it? Well, the cauliflower rice has like 4 grams per serving, which is, you know, it's not zero, but it's pretty good. You think that one has? Why would it have a lot?
I don't know. I thought it was more, but it's hard to tell.
I think it has some carbs. Anyway, dude, that's a game changer. Had Fresh Brothers cauliflower pizza, and I know Fresh Brothers not necessarily a national chain or anything, but anybody in LA, man, get on it. And had some good meals this week. I've been on a diet, but you couldn't tell by the smile on my face by some of the great meals I had. My lovely girlfriend Katie the other day, just for no reason at all. It was almost like it was my birthday. She was like, hey, you want to go to the driving range? So we never do it. I do that a lot with Billy Wayne Davis. We'll go to the Griffith Park driving range. No. I'm not a golfer.
That's a fun thing. It's so separate from golf.
Yeah, it's fun to just – so we went out there just for about an hour, just ripped the shit out of some balls. And I can get a hold of one. I can drive it pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, hey, let's go eat Korean barbecue. So she took me to the place I've talked about before, Parks Barbecue Koreatown. Unbelievable. Just beef short rib, pork bulgogi, all the little, what do you call the pickled stuff? There's a name, an all-encompassing name for the pickled appetizers. But
I don't know. I know it's like daikon radishes.
Yeah, the cucumbers and just all kimchi. The sprouts and the kimchi. But yeah, man, just meat and veggies, dude. The other day, just no reason at all. She's like, it felt like my birthday. It's like,
if you eat Asian food and don't get anything with noodles, where's the carbs even? Because there's no bread.
Noodles or rice,
dumpling, I guess. Oh, dumpling. Noodles, rice, and dumpling.
Yeah.
All right, no, sure.
But, like, what we had was no carbs. All I had was the meat. Normally, when I go there, I'll get this seafood pancake that's, like, shrimp and squid and green onion pancake, which is amazing. So I didn't do that. And all we had was the pork bulgogi, the beef short rib, and all those little veggies. And, oh, boy. And then yesterday, went to the Kraken Crab. Oh, boy. One of those seafood joints
where... Dump it out on the table?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They give you a whole, like, outfit to wear?
I got the bib.
Yeah.
And they gave us the plastic gloves. I didn't need those. But, dude, we got, like, whatever, combo number 3, 2 pounds of Dungeness crab, a pound of...
Which ones is the Dungeness?
I don't know.
I'm thinking a horseshoe crab. That's the one that's a big...
This
looks
just
like a helmet with a tail.
Yeah, now this looks kind of like a traditional crab. Okay. So I had the Dungeness crab, mussels, and clams. And oh boy. And just not a good first date meal, by the way. Just I had to take a shower. Just I had shit all in my elbows. I had garlic butter in my hair.
Factory. And really, for it to be experienced, they really are just going like, this is what people do for you when you get this at another restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's a pile of seafood, and you just shuck it yourself.
Yeah, but, oh, man, good times. Yeah, just eating a bunch of...
a place like that called Shuck You. Shuck yourself.
Shuck yourself.
Go shuck yourself.
Shuck it.
Go, yeah.
Kind of like the pho king.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's got to be at least five of those in every city.
Oh, God. But, yeah, man, good food week. Yeah, man. Eating real well. And even with all that, lost some more weight this week, man. Just cutting out the sugar and the carbs, dude. All right, I want to go ahead and throw it out there and make myself accountable. Okay.
Yeah, so everybody knows I'm going to hold you to it.
Going to hold me to it, dude.
I'm going to turn into like a morning talk show.
I'm going to lose 80 pounds before my next birthday.
Really? 80 pounds next August?
I'm already down 11.
Was it August 5th?
August 3rd.
3rd?
I'm down 11. I got 69 more pounds.
All right.
Yeah.
People still make a sound at that. Like, my mom goes to bingo and everybody, oh, 69. She's like, ugh. Like, who's still? It's fucking old it's people funny. On oxygen.
But yeah, man. So every week, remind me if I don't remember, but I'll check in. I give you an update.
A year.
2 weeks, I'm down 11 pounds. I might hit that before the new year, dude.
Well, all right. Pump the brakes a little bit.
But no, I'm throwing it out there.
I need
to be held accountable.
But they say like the last, feel like that's the hardest one to get down to the.
Yeah. Yeah, the first. Well, like I said last week, it's like a suitcase off the Queen Mary.
Let's
you know?
Do it, man.
But I lost like 3 pounds the first day. And I was like,
I don't know how that happened.
At this rate, I'll hit my goal in a month. But, yeah, I don't understand. And they say you're not supposed to weigh yourself every day, you know, because water retention and, you know, it gives mixed messages, like, you know, can be discouraging. But anyway, so, yeah, I'm going to lose 80 pounds before August 3rd. Hold me accountable. Feel free to holler at me. Check in.
I will say. And good luck on your journey.
Yeah. And even that, I'll still technically be overweight. But I think that's a weight.
No booze?
Haven't had any booze. No booze. I'm not quitting drinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, here and there, I'm going to allow myself a little bit here and there. But like, you know, as far as just, I've never had an issue with alcohol. Like, I've never like been one of those people like, oh, I need to quit drinking. Because it's never gotten me in trouble.
That's been a joke I've been doing about how I'm like, I don't have to be sober. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to quit and like, make it be a thing.
Yeah, I don't want it to be a thing.
Sometimes.
Yeah, because, and I know this sounds like something an alcoholic might say, but like I truly have never had a problem. Like it's never gotten me into trouble. Alcohol's never made me miss work. It's never gotten me into fights. It's never ruined relationships. No. But the way I drink, it just kind of becomes routine. Like, oh, I'm having dinner. Where's my beer? Yeah. You know, just like it's just part of the meal, and what the only thing it has affected is my health and my weight. Like it's just ridiculous.
The only thing it has done is it's killed me. It's making me die much faster than.
But it hasn't. It hasn't affected my life socially or anything. Like you know, a true alcoholic, you know, who's missing work and you know it's hurting their relationships and stuff like that. It's never been an issue with that. But to me, it's just unnecessary calories.
I always think of it like that. Like, if I think of it like that, I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely, alcohol has affected my life. But as a drunk, I'm like, yeah, par for the course. Yeah, you get one DUI under your belt. Yeah, you were hungover for a lot of those day jobs. Well, maybe you could have been more attentive in relationships. But you know, par for the course, man, you figure out how to navigate this crazy ship called life, man.
Yeah, man.
With throwing a few little booze. Now, I had 2 beers last night, and they both tasted good, and then I was like, yeah. Well, I'm not getting drunk tonight. I'll stop after having 2 cold beers.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
I don't think I've ever been drunk off a beer. Like, I'd have to drink 12. Like, I get full before
what
I get drunk.
Did you drink when you were making those wings up? And
Well, that's a different story. And I still didn't get drunk because I was sweating it out. It was a lot. I shouldn't talk about that after I just said. But anyway. But yeah, man. Coming down, dude. Coming down. Well, it's the Dave meltdown. Gonna melt away, dude.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm Looking forward to seeing this. I wish you luck.
Yeah, man. It's time. It's time to do it, man. Not to get all, like, too serious about it, but, like, up until now, and, you know, it's always been like, oh, I need to lose weight, you know, for aesthetic purposes. I want to look better. I want to look better in my clothes. But
you'll feel you have more energy.
I'm in my 40s now. It's like, dude, all right, fucking not. You don't see any morbidly obese 70-year-olds. You don't.
No.
You know.
But it's a quality of life thing. Like, you're a guy that likes to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You could do more of that stuff for a longer period of time. You know, just energy. Like, I know when I'm not riding, like, not doing mountain bike rides, and I regret the first one back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to suck. And I go on two or three, and I'm like, oh, yeah, man, the ride up won't be as bad. The ride down, I'm feeling better. Yeah, man, quality of life.
Join that new gym, and not nearly as many douchebags at this gym as some of my old ones, but still a few floating around. And you know, it's one of the no one would accuse me of being in shape, but I still got my old man strength. I have my current old man strength, and then I got a bunch of strength left over from my younger days.
Can I say something? Uh-huh. I hope you don't get offended. You look like you're supposed to be a fat guy. Not like a fat guy. No,
yeah.
Like, you're like a big...
Yeah, I'm big bones.
You're a burly dude.
Yeah.
You see some people, and they just get a gut, and then everything else is skinny.
Skinny fat guy.
Yeah, they look like...
I'd rather be natural fat guy.
Yeah, you're supposed to wear that.
Yeah. Well, I look like I used to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you'll see an NFL player who retires, and 5 years later, they put on 40 pounds. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't look like obese
but the
and
shoulders,
gross.
The back, everything's still strong.
Yeah. But what's the best, I did this twice this week, the best little passive-aggressive move you can do at a gym, if you've got some strength, is all these little buff guys walking around. And first of all, my hobby when I'm on the treadmill is just catching dudes checking themselves out in the mirror. That's so much fun. And then I hope that we then make eye contact, because it's like, caught you. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Twinkle toes. Nice, nice calves.
You don't realize this. You're the gayest dude at your gym. It just turns out that fucking... That bear's here trying to bat out of his league.
Yeah. But what I do...
Keeps checking everybody out.
What's fun to do is, like, a lot of these machines you kind of have to share. Like, hey, can I hop in?
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to just, you know, dominate all the equipment. But so twice this week I've been kind of working in with two other guys. And they're definitely in great shape. These are, like, dudes that are, like, you could tell they've worked hard. And they're also kind of douchey and vain about it. But twice... I got to this great little passive aggressive move. Let's say we're doing like I don't know, tricep pull downs, the pulley machine where you pull the weight, and then when it's my turn to hop in, you don't even say anything. You just let's say he's got it on 50, and then I just grab it and I put it on 70. It's like I need a little more weight than you there. Even though he's in great shape, you know, and he's all vain, douchey, ripped, pretty boy. It's like. I'm gonna need you to put a little more weight on that, because old dumb fatty over here is still a lot stronger than you.
He's doing maintenance weights. You're trying to get to a point. I used to have a super, super old joke just about how, like, that's why gay guys always look good, is because they're still guys, and guys are fucking vain. So, like, oh, yeah, like, dude, like, oh, what do you look for in a woman? I don't know, like, a nice ass, blah, like, that's still a guy, like, even if you're gay, you're still like, oh, I want to... good, hot-looking dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like, yeah, what a fucking hot dude. And so they're still, gay or not, you're still vain because you're a fucking guy.
Yeah.
You know, that male sense of like, yeah, I gotta look good, man.
Yeah.
Want to look good, be some fucking eye candy, want to get me some eye candy.
Well, and
gay or straight, it's about surface visuals.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, the vanity mixed with you, they still have obviously male genetics and male testosterone, so they're able. Like, if you know, if they commit to it, they're able to just pack on muscle and look great. You know.
Yeah. I seeing dudes like that. I just saw a preview for the new Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it was always funny how Mac just got fat.
Yeah.
One season.
Yeah.
Now he's ultra ripped.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think he just went the other way.
Uh huh.
But. The amount of time spent doing that,
mm-hmm.
I just...
That's what I never understood, was like
the guys,
good for you for being healthy, but like, ugh.
I guess. I mean, I look at the stuff I waste my time on. I'm not saying it's a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But after a certain point, like, oh, yeah, you're in shape.
Yeah.
Versus the chiseled, I look grub, like, yeah, I don't know.
Just, I don't know if that's... male body dysmorphia or whatever. Like, oh, I've got to look better. I got to look better.
Well, I mean, we're in L.A.
So. I've obviously never suffered from that. Who gives a shit? No, I just
got it. You wear a hat all the time, but you got a head of hair, man.
Yeah, my hair's growing out. I'm getting it long. I don't know.
You got a head of hair, man. Yeah. Why are you fucking ruining the hat game for bald guys like me? That's my new one. I said I'd shave my beard and I look like Yoda with his ears pinned back. I got a second chin. I don't even have a first chin, though.
Nah.
I got this down here. There's no regular chin. It's just this little fucking turkey wobble, whatever. I'm doing it though. I shaved again last.
Yeah, week with a razor. So you're keeping it. You're gonna keep it down for a little while.
I'm just trying to change up the game.
Should grow some big old pork chops.
I was thinking about. I used to have.
I don't mind that look. Like on some guys, it looks weird, but then some guys like, yeah, that works. Like the rockabilly pork chops.
Yeah, but you gotta have rockabilly up top too. You can't have the fucking pork chops and then have assistant principal up top. Fucking snake sideburns and Superintendent Chalmers. Insane look.
I'm going to get some more water.
Some water. That's all right. You have the topic. I don't know what we're talking about this week. Let me guess. Cryptids that aren't real that one guy saw once and then on his deathbed told everybody he faked it. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, Dave's back. Thank God. Dave, what are we talking about this week?
All right. Well, before I get into it, well, I don't know. It'd be like a four
it's been a half hour. Yeah,
I should just get into it.
I went on a hot air balloon ride last week.
Really? Where was that? Where'd you do that at?
Temecula. Old Deb Canang got my sister and I for Christmas a hot air balloon ride for us and our significant others.
That's adorable.
Yeah. And it was awesome. Down in Temecula.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you don't know what to think about a hot air balloon ride because there's no guy, they can't control it.
Yeah.
And you think, like, this was a mode of transportation? Like, this was playing the lottery back in the day. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm just going to go up and see where I go.
Yeah.
But this guy had an iPad. First off, incredibly smooth.
Uh-huh.
It's a sunrise hot air balloon ride. So smooth. You get in the basket. Such a gentle takeoff.
Uh-huh.
And landing.
Really?
Guy had such control over it. For a while, we were just like 2 feet above the ground, going over kind of hills and stuff. And he was just, would let a little bit of heat if we needed to rise up. He was very in control. They know which winds are doing what at which altitude. So they still can kind of, by their altitude, drop into a wind pattern that's going to push them away. But it was real neat. So I dropped that in there. Hot air balloon ride.
How long?
About an hour or so.
That seemed like a good amount of time.
Yeah. Start getting.
How high did you get up, if you had to guess?
I think he said it was like 3,700 feet.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it's where you're just looking over a basket that far down. But it wasn't. It was very calming.
How big is the basket? How many people could you fit?
12 people.
Okay. Yeah. So you can walk around a little bit?
It's kind of like sectioned off for like four, four, and four.
Okay.
And the pilot.
Wow.
And
I've never done that.
Yeah. That wouldn't be a thing that I would think to do, but, you know, my sister and I get each other real stupid Christmas gifts every year. Like, you want something you need, or you want an experience?
Yeah.
I mean, we usually say experience, so we try to get each other, like, she got me one of those crazy haunted houses.
Yeah.
And I got her trapeze lessons and stuff, so we'll just do dumb shit like that.
That's awesome.
But, so my mom tried to jump in, she's like, hot air balloon ride, like, done. Very cool. Anyway, before we get into it, hot air balloon ride.
There you go, buddy. Well, good times. Well, let's get into today's topic. This was actually suggested last week by some listeners, and I thought, why not? Let's get into this. Do you have or have you ever played with a shortwave radio? You have a joke that references a crank radio.
Oh, for like, yeah, those survival crank radios.
What exactly is that? What's a crank radio?
That's how you power it up. That's how you generate the electricity to, you know, get the radio going. I got two ways. I got a CB and two ways that I've never used, but I got them for off-roading.
I've always wanted to get a CB radio. I've always loved radio, just the concept of radio. Obviously, we've talked about
that. The internet back in the day. CB radio and getting in touch with truckers. You'd call them names, and then you'd be like, but then people would have them in their cars and drive around and try and find you.
I did a show a couple years ago with a comic. I won't name him or anything, but he's a gay dude, and he's openly gay. And but he talks about when he was younger, he used to like try to hook up with truckers via CB radio. He had all these like little techniques, like you didn't want to just talk openly about certain things, so they'd have codes on, like, switch over to channel 4, switch back over here.
Confusing codes for gay truckers were there. 10-on-4? 10-4? I mean, 10-on-4. What is that? Two and then a couple guys just talk for a while? I don't shit. All right.
But I've always loved the concept of radio. I mean, I talked about how I used to be a radio DJ and behind the scenes and stuff, but even before that, I just... yeah, just free entertainment. Like I used to have, even in the van, when I was living in the van, I'd have just a little small battery-powered AM, FM, and just, you know, at night, no TV, no Netflix. I would just scan. Like, obviously, you got the big stations that you listen to, but then it's like, you know, what else is out there? And every now and then you'd find, and when I travel, I love just putting the AM radio on and just searching and just finding all kind of weird shit. But, yeah, man, shortwave radio, I've never really gotten into those. I think I'm going to now. But today we're going to talk about number stations. And what the hell's a number station? Well,
yeah, what the hell's a number station?
All right. Today? During the Cold War, primarily like late 60s, early 70s, shortwave radio enthusiast. Now, shortwave radio, I don't exactly... It's just all different bands of different frequencies.
Yeah, I never understood what was what on that.
Yeah, and I still don't quite understand it. Not enough to really articulate it here. But it's just a... It's just a radio with different...
Another boogie monster, another topic we don't understand.
As opposed to AM and FM, it's just different waves that are out there floating around that the shortwave radio captures and you can listen to. Mm-hmm. And I think they're a little more powerful because the science behind them is different. You can pick up shortwave frequencies from all over the globe, you know, if you've got the right kind of radio. So anyway, back during the Cold War, shortwave radio was a big deal. Amongst, you know, hobbyists and people just trying to, like you said, it's basically the internet before the internet. It was a chance to kind of listen and communicate to people, you know, around the world.
And I'll read this from Wikipedia. Uh-huh. Radio waves in the shortwave band can be reflected or refracted from a layer of electrically charged atoms in the atmosphere called the ionosphere. Therefore, shortwaves directed at an angle into the sky can be reflected back to the Earth at great distances beyond the horizon.
Makes sense.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, back during the Cold War, these shortwave radio enthusiasts, they began noticing these strange transmissions. Just hundreds of unauthorized broadcasts with, like, these simulated voices, and they'd read out, like, sets of numbers and codes, usually in groups of five, in languages ranging from, like, Russian, German, Spanish, all types of languages. And the reason for the five-number sequence, they say, is because the human brain can remember a five-number group at high speeds. So, like... Well, what I'm getting to, too, is a lot of this stuff has to do with codes and spies and shit. So... Mm-hmm. Just a lot of these weird people just started noticing, like, not music, not news reports, just beeps and buzzes followed by just groups of numbers. And at the time, nobody knew their origin or their purpose, but it didn't take long for people to start noticing the patterns in these transmissions. Mm-hmm. The most obvious thing that was noticed was that most transmissions had what they call a calling sign. And the calling sign was like this little song or piece of music at the beginning of the transmission that was used as an indicator that a message or a code was coming up.
Okay.
So, like, you know, if you're tuning into this station, you might hear like a little piece of music, and that's to let whoever this message is intended for, it's to let them know, hey, when you hear that song, grab a pen and paper because
So the rest of the station was doing whatever it was normally, regular broadcasting. But, oh, by the way, bing, bong, bang.
Well, I think, no, the whole station's purpose of this particular, whatever these particular frequencies were, its whole purpose was for this secret, mysterious messages to go out.
Okay, okay.
So, yeah, for example, a real famous one is called the Lincolnshire Poacher Station. And it started with a calling sign, but then also followed by what they call header numbers. And this would play for like 10 minutes. The calling sign was this piece of music. Here, I'm going to play it real quick. And followed by some numbers. And it's believed that the numbers are used to identify the recipient. For example, they'll play the song and then there'll be a sequence of numbers. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily is that the message, but that's to let, if multiple spies or agents or whomever are listening,
yeah.
the numbers are like, oh, this one's for me. I got to write this shit down. So let me play you just a real quick snippet of the Lincolnshire Poacher Station. Listen to this. And, of course, it's not working. And that's because the name of this piece of music is Lincolnshire.
39715.
So the music was the indicator that you know a message is coming, and then this is real. And I don't think this one is still going on. A lot of these ran for
it's like
just
the ice cream truck song.
Yeah, it does. It does sound like that. But that's just an example of one. I'll play some more here in a little while. But so in the late 60s and 70s, people started noticing all this stuff. And they're like, what the hell does that mean? And it didn't take long for people to figure out that some of these are government ran. And they're operated by government secret service agencies, such as MI6 in the UK, CIA here in America, KGB in Russia, NATO. So there's a lot of these all across the globe, and a lot of them are still running. And some of these have been running.
Is this the same as a ham radio?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what a ham. I'm familiar with the term, but I don't know how this is different than a ham radio. Mm. Why don't you look up ham radio real
quick?
Ham
radio is just amateur radio.
Okay.
That's why I'm wondering why you need a license. Like, I could see how this, like, why they would want to regulate who has access mm-hmm. to being able to send messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah, you need to have a license, because they can't track where these messages are coming from.
Yeah. So
this is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and there's some of these have been running for like 30 or 40 years, just on loop.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all different types. There's one called the Yosemite Sam transmission. It's operating out of the New Mexico desert. It's believed to be operated by the U.S. government. Its calling sign is the cartoon character Yosemite Sam, hence the name. And instead of numbers, after the first part, there's data burst or very fast reading of compressed data that contains information. Let me see if I can pull this one up for you real quick. This one's pretty funny. Hold on just a second. Let me see.
Yosemite Sam is mostly hat and eyebrows. You ever notice that? You don't see his head.
That's just been running on a loop for 30 years. I'm going to blow you to smithereens. That's Yosemite Sam. So somebody took that piece of audio, and that shit's just been looping for years. Yosemite Sam transmission. Now, one of the most famous ones is one called UVB-76. This one's operated by the Russian government. It uses no calling sign. Instead, it has a large range of buzzing sounds. Sometimes noises, such as screams or Russian letters or words, and also known as the buzzer. It transmits 24 hours a day. It was first noticed in the late 70s, but in the 90s, listeners started noticing that occasionally the buzzing sounds would be interrupted by live messages of a male Russian voice reading off random Russian names and numbers. The live messages became more frequent during times of political tension or military events. So
I wonder if the use of this is, like, increasing now with everything on the internet being hacked. I want a ham radio.
Yeah.
I want a ham radio right now.
Let me play you this one real quick.
Or, sorry, shortwave radio. Different things. Morse code?
Yeah, there's a Morse code one. All kinds of crazy ones floating around out there. But yeah, so anyway, to answer your question, what you just, or statement, it does seem like kind of antiquated technology to just for spies and agents to be messing around with this. But the thing is, it's the messages are so cryptic that it's almost a foolproof way to send secret information. No one, put it this way, there's been thousands and thousands of these out there. There's no known record of any code breaker breaking these codes, cracking these codes, figuring out what they mean. Yeah. And how they work, all right, step one, like I said, you got the calling signal. That's the audio or the song, audio clip or a piece of music. That's the indicator that a message is coming. Step two is the encoded message reading, such as the numbers. That's the main subject of the transmission. It contains coded info, usually, like I said, sequence of five numbers read twice and ready to be decoded by the intended recipient. And step three, deciphering the message. And that's what I'm talking about. Nobody's been able to decipher these other than maybe their intended recipients. And there's two primary techniques used to decipher these encrypted messages. One is called the one-time pad theory. Now, this theory states that translations of numbers change daily or with each broadcast, and that agents have updated translators delivered to them regularly. So, meaning they're delivered, you know, kind of a code book or like, you know, this means this, you know, just, and there's even an urban legend going around that American spies were receiving decrypted instructions stamped onto a piece of chewing gum so that somebody, you know, would give them a piece of gum with a message on it. They'd get the message and then eat the gum. So there's no, you know, it's a one-time pad there. This code is good for one use and then it changes daily.
Well, what? I guess I'm wondering why not just deliver them the message that way.
That's true, too.
Why you got to go through all the trouble?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. I think there's, I mean, obviously.
I guess because the information's still secure.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
But once it leaves the place, it's insecure. It's insecure information. Yeah. It just doesn't believe in itself.
Now,
maybe that's why. I ain't no spy. I don't know. I'm bad.
The other primary technique used is one that they've coined the book code theory. This theory states that agents are given a specific book. It could be any book, the Bible, Moby Dick, doesn't matter. But you and I, we're going to communicate. We have the same book, and the number readings equate to specific pages, lines, or words in each book. For example, you know, if you heard a message and the number reading was 81135, okay, that might indicate that the agent should go to page 81, line 13, and circle the fifth word on the line. So, boom, there's your code. The downside of this technique is that using only five numbers would be very restricting to the amount of the book you can communicate. So really, you know, based on this technique, you could only communicate.
Also, what if you don't have the book?
One word at a time. Well, if you don't have the book, it's not going to work at all. I think that's the point. Is that
it's not near a library?
It's both the messenger and the recipient.
This Barnes and Noble's been closed down for 6 years. It's all online.
But
you got to buy it on Kindle, and you've got to give your personal information to Amazon. Bezos has you right there.
Yeah. So it might seem like a lot of work just to get one word out of a book relayed to an agent, but this technique probably used when the recipient only needs a one-word answer. For example, yes or no, stay or go, or even dead or alive.
Real magic eight ball shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
It's sad what's happened. Like that. What's happened? Like the spies that were being poisoned. I think were they defecting Russian spies or being poisoned? But like the fact that that's still happening. That there's still spies.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. Brandy was telling me, Brandy grew up in Baltimore, but like growing up in the D.C. area, it's like you just always had friends whose parents were some higher up government position that they couldn't speak of.
Yeah.
Like you forget that that's the industry of the area.
Well, yeah, and I was watching
that. Dads are spies.
There's a great documentary about the D.C. punk scene of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that originated from teenagers whose parents were working for the Reagan administration in some capacity.
Yeah, and they're
like, fuck that. We're going to start a punk band.
All of Minor Threat and Bad Brains and all those dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes and chicks.
But let me see if I can find another one here.
Yeah, just being a spy. Like, what? How do you? That's fat. Like, how do you just, like, I've always seen it in movies. You never find out from real life, or maybe it's disinformation. Somebody's like, yeah, I just did good on these tests, and then I went in the military, and then I became a spy.
Yeah.
Well, they're out there.
Yeah, oh, they're definitely out there. And, I mean, like all the Snowden shit. Like I think he pulled the rug out of what's the phrase I was looking for? I don't know. a lot of spies.
He pulled the rug out of him.
He pulled the rug out of his ear. But yeah, a lot of spies were affected by, you know, some of his stuff. Mm-hmm. And well, I've always, you know, you always hear about like military intelligence and spies and stuff in terms of like code breaking, and I don't know, watching movies and stuff, like what codes are they trying to break, you know? And it's like, well, I'm not this encompasses all of that concept, but like, you know, all this is codes being sent back and forth, you know,
yeah,
secret information that they don't want anybody else to know.
What happened? Like, this is not off topic, but people that become these things,
mm-hmm.
like we kind of like, when did like, those are people that just kept learning, like mm-hmm. high school, learn, move yeah. forward, college, learn, move forward, grad school, learn, move forward, become a specialist, learn more, move forward. Like I was wondering, when did I just stop? Like, that's still, I mean, no, classic comedian. Boy, I sure feel like I can't do anything else in the world. Yeah. I'm a little kid. But eventually, you're like, hey, I'm 41. I want to know how to do certain things. I want to have some base knowledge. But the people that are just continuously learning, I'm envious of that. Like to be a spy, to be a code breaker, to break mm-hmm. a code.
Yeah.
Which, very far reach right now, is mm-hmm. a little bit of what comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of like, all right, what's the funny thing about this situation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the most efficient way to get to a joke? It's mm-hmm. not the scientific code breaking. This matches with that and all that other mm-hmm. shit. But, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You feel like a, you know, especially being a comedian, like you feel like a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody like, oh boy, I sure feel like it. No, I feel like a fucking idiot. When you talk to somebody that's your age,
yeah.
Would you ever look at like, oh, noted scientist? You read an obituary. Noted scientist passed away at age 39. You're like, 39? How could you be a scientist? I'm still. What'd you do?
What's your joke? Some people my age are astronauts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But some people are like, what are you getting at?
Yeah.
Really? You got there already? Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people do stuff with that free time. Like, mm-hmm. it's not free time. It's them learning.
Well, I think about that a lot about, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I got a decent brain in my noggin. And think back to like in high school, like I didn't even try to utilize, it was so many distractions. All I cared about was girls and sports and hanging out with my buddies. But like if I were to go back now, of course, that old cliche, if I knew what I knew then,
yeah.
But just like if I were to go back to some sort of school and be like, no distractions. Try to do your best and try to use this as a stepping stone to something greater. Like I would crush it.
Yeah. Well, like I say, like CEOs and certain people in positions of power have to be a bit of a sociopath.
Yeah.
And that's how, I mean, I'm sure, but that's how I look at people in high school are like, no, I gotta win. Like,
yeah.
Even with sports, but then there's still physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, science, there's still intellectual limitations. But politics or showbiz, you could have some of the talent, but if you could be a sociopath and navigate and know how to manipulate people and this and that, you can get to the top of those things. You can get to the top of L.A. or D.C. if you're a fucking psycho.
How many,
you will make it.
How many untalented comics do I know that are succeeding?
You shake the right hands and navigate your way through the scene and be friends with the right people to be friends with. You'll make it more than the guy who has all the raw talent and none of the hustle. At least with science, I don't think you can do that. At least with science, you have to have your definitive proof,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then to apply that to this, like somebody... I mean, a sociopath, shit. I mean, you'd be a perfect spy. You got to know how to manipulate people mm-hmm. and read people and use them to your advantage. But to be a code breaker, to be that, like that's you know, beautiful mind level,
mm-hmm.
Crazy genius shit of looking at numbers and, you know, Good Will Hunting type shit.
Yeah. And that's what.
That's a crazy person. Like, that's an on the spectrum type of person to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even. Contradicting what I just said about how I would be a lot better student if I went now, some of that stuff, like, where do you begin? How do you even train your brain to think that way?
I had some friends in high school, like, no, I know I'm going to be a lawyer. and I need to start now. And I was like, I don't know, I'm probably going to get drunk and, you know, I could pass out.
I think a lot somewhere. Of that, I think a lot of that comes from parental pressure or, you know, encouragement, however you want to look at
it. True.
You know, and I had great parents, but I don't know if they just knew that I had limitations, but I never received a whole lot of like, you can go do any of this.
Yeah, I can only imagine looking at a kid and going like, don't count on it.
Yeah. Like, maybe they knew like,
be happy that just celebrate the small victories.
Yeah.
We had one kid who was like, just so like, you could tell, in high school, it was like, you could tell he was like, wanted to be a politician. He was going to do that. And he was a smug fucking twat. And
really?
I'm pretty sure I think he's high up in my hometown and making a run. But from the get-go, like this smug little know-it-all face, and I studied, and I'm getting A's. And I'm like, ugh, fuck you, dude. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a good student. But knowing that you're a good student and other people aren't, I'm like, you unfuckable dickhead. Like, just good luck. That was such an example of like, you're a piece of shit who's going to do what he needs to do to get what he wants in this world.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. I could sleep better at night knowing that maybe I wasn't an asshole that day.
Yeah.
It's not every night I get to do that.
It is crazy, though, to think about, like, people went to high school and stuff. Our buddy Ryan Singer was telling me a couple years ago when the presidential race was going on, a good buddy of his that he went to high school with, he thought at the time was about to be named Hillary Clinton's running mate. Ultimately, she went with Tim Kaine or whomever.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, like, the week or two before he was telling me, he's like, oh, yes, this buddy of mine in high school, he's now he's a lawyer and now he's a politician. He's – I don't know if he's in Congress or he's doing something politically. But he's like, yeah, my buddy, like, he's on the short list. He might
Singer becomes the Roger Clinton of that relationship. Yeah, man, I'll just shape-shift over to the party when you guys are celebrating.
But yeah, I have. I don't keep in touch with like high school folks, but they're every now and then, you know, with Facebook and stuff, you'll see people like, oh, I got one guy I went to high school as a judge. You know,
yeah, like, yeah. Addison wasn't churning out any code breakers. I'll tell you that much. You're not gonna find a body with the fingerprints burned off in a CIA raid. Find out he went to Addison Trail. That's not what we were plunking out in the world.
Yeah. But yeah, it is crazy. I do think about that, though, of like, what if you'd have just fucking tried, dude? Like, I made decent grades, but I didn't try. I didn't work at all. I was a lazy student because, like I said, I was preoccupied. I didn't care. When you're 16, 17, you're not – most 16, 17-year-olds, you're not really thinking about the future.
No. But, you know? Well, then the ones that aren't – my friend who said she, like, is, you know, doing well now – but like what she said, she was approached by the FBI or the CIA in high school. Like,
really?
If you're interested in this career path, we would like to usher you through it. Like, so I guess they're scouting.
Yeah.
If a college is doing it for football, you don't think the CIA is like, oh, look at these test scores. Look, I always think like a Gross Point Blank or something, like how they managed to hire like, oh, no parents, nothing tied to it. You know, like all these super spy stories.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't they pick that type of person? Here, we'll nurture you. We'll usher you through our program, and you have no family ties, nothing that's going to be pulling you back to the real world.
Yeah.
And go full Manchurian candidate with them.
It's crazy. Let me go back and just give a little more info.
Way off topic of the bleeps and the bloops.
The first one I... Dude, that reminds me.
Bleep Bloops told me I gotta go kill a president. Whoops, that's that one.
I don't know why Bleeps and Bloops reminded me of this. When we were doing High Plains Comedy Festival together about 5 years ago, Reggie Watts was the headliner.
And
do you remember he had his own fridge? Well, you open the fridge in the green room, and there was a sign that said, Reggie Watts only, please don't touch it. You go, I get it. You make a couple bleep bloop noises, you get your own goddamn fridge.
I'm sure that was like some his management or something. Like, Reggie needs this.
No, you said
sure
it in
he
good
didn't
fun.
Give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and Reggie, like, he was super cool.
Up there
and
making bleep bloop noises.
I'm a fan, but that was just funny. bleep bloop noises. Anyway, the Lincolnshire Poacher, that's the first one I played. Just to give you a little background on that one. Transmitted from Cyprus from the mid-70s to June 2008.
Such an exotic location.
Yeah.
Cyprus.
Station gained its commonly known name as it uses bars from the English folk song, the Lincolnshire Poacher. Radio station was believed to be operated by the British Secret Intelligence Service, emanated from the island of Cyprus. Amateur direction finding linked it with the Royal Air Force Base. Several curtain antennas have been identified as being its transmitter. It consisted of electronically synthesized English-accented female voice reading groups of five numbers. And the what's weird about this one, the final number in each group was spoken at a higher pitch. So they think that had some significance as far as like...
it's not what's said, but how it's said.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, man.
It's like getting in trouble with your mom. It's not what you said, it's how you said it.
Yeah, exactly. So the ones I've played for you so far are pretty much have ties to governments and secret agencies and stuff. But... I'm asking you, I don't have the answer to this. What other purposes could these have if they were used by like private citizens or organizations or even companies? Like what would be the benefit? Like, because they say there's thousands of these, like still current. Like if you have shortwave radio, you can find these and just,
yeah.
Some of them are just so weird. They're just weird noises. There's, like I said, the Yosemite Sam one. There's others that just take audio clips from movies or cartoons or whatever.
I mean, I can say like what the internet now, what 4chan and all that shit is now, being the precursor to that. Just that the curiosity of seeing what's out there. It's not quite, you know, the weirdos that are just sending radio signals mm-hmm. into space hoping for something back. And I say weirdos affectionately. But
Could it have criminal use?
Very much so. But I'm thinking more in a whimsical way. Like, you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. Like, oh, but the same reason the CB, like, oh, I'm talking to somebody. The trolls existed then. It's not internet isn't creating them.
Yeah.
Fucking 14-year-old with a CB was still calling truckers faggots and go like, look at us. They got mad just because I did something because I'm a dickhead.
Yeah.
You know? But that, like, oh, I can just reach out. Like, I can communicate with somebody or hear a signal from somewhere exotic. I mean, that... I remember just as a kid, like how much stuff would get me worked up about just that there are other places. Just seeing license plates from out of state, I would get excited too. We'd go to like this air show in Wisconsin, this big, this Oshkosh air show. It's like the biggest fly-in air show ever. But I would go to that every summer, just seeing all different cars, all different license plates. Like, man, you drove here from, what's that like?
Yeah.
I would still be, so that curiosity, imagine like, I'm just going to flip through these stations and I don't even know what language that is. Oh, yeah. Man, what's... Where could that be coming from? Like, I don't know if you could figure out where the stations were coming from by tuning into them or not.
That I don't know. Well, like with a traditional radio station, they have call letters and they have to do what's called legal ID. At the top of every hour, you have to do like WNNX Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, that legally the FCC requires them to do that. I don't know what the regulations are with.
Yeah, you should think to a time like. We're the last generation that grew up not being able to go to a computer to look up, to just put a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
And that, I'll say, is great that that's you can find that now. You can put that to ease. But
like the Pete Holmes joke. Where's Tom Petty from?
Yeah, where's Tom
and you just didn't know. So
it's
one
like,
day
oh,
you saw
Florida. Florida.
And that's how you met
that's
your
how
wife.
You met your wife. Yeah, that, you know, like. I guess I don't. This is a foreign language that I don't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating, in and of itself.
Dude, I love listening to weird, random radio stations when I'm on the road. One time, I was in Louisiana, and for about an hour, I listened to a Vietnamese news station. And I'm not going to do any voices, but I will say Vietnamese language is soothing to the ear. It's fun to listen to. I'll leave it at that.
It's aesthetically pleasing. It's tonally pleasing to you.
It's fun to listen to.
Yes.
It was amusing. I had no idea what they were saying, but I listened to it for an hour. And
we did Mushrooms in the Desert, and you guys were just listening to the World Series in Spanish at one time. I'm like...
And you're like, we know what's going on. I'm like, I don't think you do, but.
All right, moving on. Okay, even though shortwave radio transmissions, like I said, they may seem like antiquated technology, they are used as a reliable method to communicate this cryptic information. As, like I said, there are no known records of any of the thousands of transmitted codes being cracked by code breakers. However, it may, like, if you were a spy, it might be hard to kind of keep it on the down low if you're always screwing around with an obscure shortwave radio. So there are two modern internet-based methods that have emerged in recent years using the same overall concepts and technologies as number stations. And these are – one is called A858. And the other is called WebDriver Torso, and I'll explain what these are. A858 is a subreddit that began back in 2011. Since then, it's been posting new cryptic messages almost every day.
Well, I've heard about some of
this. You've heard about this? Yeah. All the messages have been seemingly coded in hexadecimal. That's the base 16 code used as binary substitution in computer systems. I don't understand any of that shit.
I wanted you to say that like, oh, you know, naturally.
You know, hexadecimal. But no one has ever been able to translate any of the codes found on A858. So that's a subreddit. I don't know if it's still – I think that one's still active. Now, the other one, WebDriver Torso. WebDriver Torso is still active. It's a YouTube channel started back in 2013. And literally about every single minute since then, they've been uploading videos, hundreds of thousands of videos that they've uploaded that feature the same kind of red and blue quadrilaterals, or as you and I know them as squares and rectangles, but and random beeps. So let me show you this. Let me play this one for you real quick. Where did 2022? Hold on just a second. Hold on just a second here. I'm gonna find her. Where'd you go? All right, hang on. All right.
Well,
our technology's pretty good. Pretty good technology. So this is WebDriver Torso. These beeps, and it's. It's all these. Oops! I accidentally hit stop. Hold on. There we go. So they're uploading these videos every minute. And for the listeners who can't see what I just showed, Kyle, it's just a YouTube video of these red and blue squares and triangles, and they're in coordinates with these beeps. And some are like 10 seconds long. Some videos are 30 minutes long. And
has anybody cracked them?
Hundreds of thousands. Let me explain to you the story behind that. Like I said, hundreds of thousands of videos. Let's see. Where did I go in my notes?
Dude, that's AI. Just somebody programmed some AI to just...
So nobody really knew what was going on. In June of 2014, there's this tech specialist, Engadget. I guess that's his screen name. He wrote to Google asking them he wanted some info on this WebDriver Torso because nobody knew what the hell this stuff meant. Google sent this reply, quote, "We're never going to give you uploading that's slow or loses video quality, and we're never going to let you down by playing YouTube in poor quality video. That's why we're always running tests like WebDriver Torso." So they're claiming that Google is behind it. Many believe, obviously, that Google has taken ownership of this channel, claiming it's a video testing device. But some conspiracy theorists claim that this is just Google's fabricated story to cover up the fact that they themselves don't know what the hell it is. Theorists point out that WebDriver Torso has too many glaring similarities to a traditional number station still currently active called the High-Pitch Polytone. Now, High-Pitch Polytone, operated out of Russia, still current, has very similar sound to WebDriver Torso. And also, this is interesting, every Russian spy that has been caught using High-Pitch Polytone, they've been caught with these deciphering machinery, these little, some sort of deciphering machines, utilizing an automated decoding process, meaning that WebDriver Torso is just a visual version of High-Pitch Polytone with a similar secret purpose. But for whom?
It's YouTube videos for spies.
I mean, seriously, they think that you can download all these videos, and then with this deciphering machinery, they somehow can spit out some codes that could be useful to somebody.
I don't know. I think there's just a lot of crap out there that are conspiracy theorists. That's what I want to know. Like, conspiracy theorists, are they doing something else? Like, do they have another hobby? Like, are they forsaking another hobby to do this?
I don't know.
Like, are they master woodworkers, but they're like, I can't even get to my woodworking because of all this? Or is it just truly like there's nothing else out there in the world for you? Like, nobody's having life-affirming sexual intercourse with a loved one and then going, time to crack the codes. Time to find out why the government's lying to us.
Here's the high-pitched polytone that they think that WebDriver Torso is kind of based after.
It sounds like a child playing with a Casio keyboard.
To the naked ear.
Oh, I think the five-year-old across the street.
That's the point.
Sending off knows the code.
That's the point. It's just a bunch of bleep-blop noises. That don't mean nothing, but maybe it does.
You think that's still the best way we can put codes out in the 21st century?
No, I don't think it's the best way. They think it's the most secure way because of the methods of how you have to decipher these codes. No one's ever cracked one of these codes, or at least there's no record of it.
They haven't genetically modified a clone squirrel to be an obedient messaging system? No. I'm not going to say that. This one, I'm curious. Like, with all the methods out there to deliver messages, sure.
I mean,
why not?
I'm curious as to what else these could be used for outside of, like, government agencies.
I have one of those crank radios. I'm going to go get it and see what's out there.
I mean, there's no telling what kind of weird criminal shit could be going back and forth with this. Like, as far as just organizing crimes and collaborating with people across the globe, I don't know.
So you got to have somebody that's making the codes.
Mm-hmm.
I make codes. Well, now coding, that's your computer program.
Yeah, and I don't understand that.
Again, that's one of those things that, like, you think about how your life could have taken a turn at 41. If you're truly honest with yourself, you could admit that you know fuck all about this world.
Oh, yeah.
That there's somebody else, that there's, especially for, like, older, like Navy SEALs are, like, 30. Like, they did all that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I made a joke, but I still, in my head, I'm like, one of these days I'll focus, get my career. I still feel like I'm like a 20-year-old that's taking time off from college. Like, no, I'll get back in there. I'll hone in on it. I'll zero in and show them. Like, nah, dude.
You joke about it. You still think you could be a prodigy.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to find something that I'm really good at.
Oh, man. As a sports fan, this has always depressed me. I am literally the exact same age, day, year, everything is Tom Brady. We were born on the same day.
Really?
And Tom Brady's worth $300 million.
He's doing all right.
And his wife is worth even more than that.
Who's his wife?
Giselle Bundchen, supermodel.
Oh, okay.
Some international super. I think she's Victoria's Secret or something. But yeah, she's literally worth more than him. And he's worth $200 or $300 million.
What do you even do with all that?
I don't know. But yeah, we're the exact same age, so fuck you, Tom.
I'll land it on that. Fuck you, Tom.
Fuck you, Tom Brady.
All right. What do we got?
So anyway, that's that. That's your number station.
There's more. That's I'm gonna get the radio.
I definitely want to get.
I think it does shortwave.
I definitely want to get a shortwave
just
radio.
Just put it in an earthquake kit. I didn't fuck with it too much.
So, yeah, and that I forgot who suggested that, but you know who you are. And speaking of which, feel free. Feel free. We're always asking you to shout out at us, and let me know what you want to hear. Us fumble our way through. So always on the lookout for interesting topics. So this one, not nearly as, you know, paranormal as some of the stuff we discussed, but interesting nonetheless. So I'm going to get on there and figure out some of this shit. I'm going to crack some of these codes.
Crack some codes, Dave.
Crack some damn codes. Let's do Comic of the Week real quick. Comic of the Week this week. Good friend of mine based out of Atlanta. young lady named Sam Severin. That's Sam as in female with two M's. Sam Severin, S-E-V-E-R-I-N, when you're looking for it. Mm-hmm. She put out a new record a couple weeks ago called Stoned and Sad, her debut album. And that kind of hits the nail the nail on the nose. Is that how you say that?
The head.
The head. Nail on the head.
Yeah.
If you know Sam, very funny lady and sweet gal. But often stoned and often sad. So
yeah, she was opening up for me on my little Southeastern run when I was my last gout inhibited.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh, at Variety Playhouse when you had to kick somebody out. Was it that?
Oh, yeah,
was it that show?
Fucking idiots. Yeah. That show.
Yeah. So yeah, check out Sam Severin. Very funny. Based out of Atlanta. She was just kind of starting out right when I was leaving Atlanta. So she's been blazing a trail through the Atlanta comedy scene and finally got her first album out, Stoned and Sad by Sam Severin. That's S-E-V-E-R-I-N. Look her up. Listen to her shit. Go see her shows whenever she's in your town. So that's our comic of the week. What you pitching this week? What do we got to plug?
Where? Tucson.
Tucson.
Be in Tucson.
Where are you playing?
The Congress Hotel.
Oh, good. You're not playing.
Also supposedly haunted and allegedly where they almost caught Dillinger. They caught members of his party, but they cornered him in there and he got away. I think that's the story. I like that Tucson. Tucson's
you're not playing that comedy club. Whatever comedy club they said, I wasn't headliner material. So.
Oh, really?
Stick in your ear.
At what? I don't even know what club is in Tucson.
Who the fuck knows? I don't know. Buddy tried to get me in there, and the guy's like, yeah, I don't think he's headlining material.
Well, somebody died there, so maybe there's different somebody in charge.
Yeah, it might be an opening. Who knows?
Somebody with a different...
So when's that again? When's your Tucson show?
Friday night, part of the HoCo Comedy Fest.
Cool.
Got old Chris Thayer out there, Paulie Casillas. It's going to be fun.
Right on, man.
Yeah, it's like a comedy music fest going on.
Well, that's cool. LA folks, you can catch me tonight as you hear this on Tuesday. I'll be at Put Your Hands Together at UCB Franklin with old...
PYHT.
Yeah, PYHT. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun show. What else I got coming up? September 19th, I'm in Tampa, Florida at Ella's Americana Folk Art Cafe. It's a mouthful. September 20th, Jacksonville, Florida. Dahlia's Poor House. Shout out to Jacksonville folks. Not to be a bummer, but yesterday that you heard about that shooting, right?
Ugh. Yeah, there's another one.
Hope everybody in Jacksonville is safe from that. 21st September, Orlando, Florida, Bull and Bush. And then the 22nd, 23rd, I'll be at the Cola Comedy Con, Columbia, South Carolina. I'm headlining the 22nd. You're headlining the 23rd. And also on the 23rd, we just announced last week, doing a live Boogie Monster, 2 p.m. on the 23rd. So get on them tickets, dog. And that's all we got.
The Boogie Monster. Oh,
It's a good show.